Hello everyone and welcome to a new episode of 5. Today I will talk with Michaela Stauch, who I actually got to know back in 2019 when she was joining the Deep Dive International Master Program of Entrepreneurship and Digital Transformation. And we're talking today about a lot of different topics, from female entrepreneurship to product development and how it is to be a female founder.
For us, entrepreneurship is not necessarily about starting or running a business. It's a state of mind, a principle of life, and an approach to dealing with problems. This is 5, your university podcast on female entrepreneurship by the Munich University of Applied Sciences and the Strasek Center for Entrepreneurship. We strongly believe in diversity. It's just so much more fun and exciting. Diversity in food, in cultures, in places, ways of living, learning, creating and doing things. It's this desire to explore that we all have in us, to see new things, and yes, to be curious to look what's behind the next corner.
So, hi Michaela, nice to have you here in our podcast studio. I'm very happy that we're sitting here together today to talk about your journey with the SCE and the Munich University of Applied Sciences, how you started as like a student and then got into the entrepreneurial journey. Welcome.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me.
Yeah, I think it was like back then in 2019, right?
Yeah, the first batch started in October 2019.
Yeah, so Michaela applied actually for the first batch of the Deep Dive master program, which is like an international and interdisciplinary master on entrepreneurship and digital transformation. And I think to really get the whole picture of your journey, let's start with your motivation to apply for the Deep Dive master. What was it about that triggered your interest? Why did you apply for this program? And yeah, let's start from there.
To get the journey, I think we have to look a little bit further back. I think I decided, like after my internship or during my internship, during my bachelor's degree already, that I want to be an entrepreneur or like build a company of my own someday. And that idea stuck basically throughout the rest of my bachelor's degree. But I didn't really have an idea back then to follow through with.
How did that idea come to your mind at the first place? Like, I mean, you say like, yeah, how did that happen even?
That I wanted to become an entrepreneur.
Yeah, it was just, you know, like you're saying it as if you went to bed and then one day you just wake up and be like, oh yeah, I want to become an entrepreneur.
I mean, I was lucky that I had a really great internship back then in my bachelor's mm-hmm. degree. I really loved the people. I loved the tasks I got. I got a lot of responsibility. But I was like, okay, what is more to that? And I think becoming an entrepreneur or building a company of my own, to me, was the bigger challenge. And that was intriguing to me. So I thought, yeah, maybe that's going to be my way. And we'll see when I get there. So when I finished my bachelor's degree, I looked into master studies, kind of in the innovation space or entrepreneurship area. And back then, there wasn't really a lot in Germany. I think I applied to 4 different universities. I mean, I have to correct myself. There are programs, but oftentimes they only accept tech people into it. And I have more like a business background. Like I studied design management before. So I didn't have that many opportunities. And yeah, SCE was one of them with their brand new program. And I'm happy that I made the decision to stay in Munich and to, finish that master degree or pursue that master degree.
So you basically just Googled, you found out about that program that is like interdisciplinary. That means like people from all sorts of backgrounds can apply, and then you applied and then you got in. right?
Yeah. I mean, before that, I also did the MOOC, the online course before that. And yeah, then I applied for the whole master's program.
My job at that time was the development of the master program together with the MOOC, which is like massive open online course. So the idea was, and that's something which is really specific about the deep dive master program, is that as we invite people from all sorts of backgrounds, they have to either bring entrepreneurship skills. And so if someone didn't have these entrepreneurship and digital transformation skills, and we wanted to give those who didn't have these subjects in their previous studies. So that was the main idea primarily for building up the online course, so that people could actually join like a 3-week online program with quite advanced different modules and to go through. And then after these 3 weeks and passing all the exams and assignments, you would get a certificate, and that certificate you can attach to your application from the master, right? Like, yeah. How was this process for you, like, as like from your experience, how did it feel like the opportunity to have like an online course beforehand of the master? Like, did that concept work out for you, or like, how do you think it, how was it?
I actually really enjoyed the course. Back then, I was like in between my break, between bachelor's degree and master's. So I had a little bit of time to fill. And I did quite a lot of online courses, and one of them, the massive open online course. And I think it gave me a first insight on how the master's degree would be structured. And I really enjoyed the tasks and was happy to get actually feedback from you guys as well. So I thought that was, quite enjoying.
Yeah, nice. So then tell us a bit, like, from the first batch, like, who else joined the master program, and like your first cohort, your co-students, like, how was it? Like, I think October 2019, you all got together. I mean, people from various countries started on that journey, and
I think we were like 23, 25 people, and from like over 10 nationalities, some of whom never been to Europe before or like Germany. And I really enjoyed that we all had different backgrounds and different experiences before, because it, creates a different learning environment, because everybody has a different point of view on something. So I think that really contributes positively if you work together. And the concept of the master's degree is that we split into project groups and work on our own startup.
I mean, that's, I think, something, right, and that already happens in the application process. So people usually would apply either with their entrepreneurial idea or with an entrepreneurship project idea. Mm-hmm. And then in the first introduction week, you would pitch. Like, those who have their own sort of idea would like pitch in front of the whole class and try to find team members, and groups are forming. And did you pitch, actually?
I pitched an idea back then. It was actually in the food space, but mm-hmm. I actually applied with a blockchain idea back then. And then I ended up in the entrepreneurial team pursuing the health industry. So quite a turn.
So from the study program till now, what happened?
So the roots of our startup today are actually in the master's degree. Lucas and I, like my co-founder, decided to follow through with that idea because we saw a huge potential. And after...
But that wasn't the idea with Meta Finance, right? It was like a different idea, or
Meta Finance pitched us a idea in the blockchain space, which they basically wanted to have programmed, but we were like, no, we are a entrepreneurship studies program. We'll do an ideation phase and see what problems are there and what we can actually solve. And after a lot of weeks of ideation, design thinking, and all the different techniques you can apply to get an idea, we arrived at the topic of falling and the risk of falling for especially elderly people. And one main reason we decided on that topic was that every member of the team had experience within their family with the topic of falling. Like my grandma fell several times, even broke a hip, a wrist, stuff like that. So not really nice. And then after the program from the master's degree was finished, we applied for the startup certificate. We started, I think, March last year with the startup certificate. And then got Exist funding this year of April.
So tell us more about your solution then. Like, I mean, you discovered that, okay, elderly people, they fall, and then what, like, how, and what's the solution that you try to come up for those people, or what's the idea of Ephes?
Ephes is actually now called Extropy.
Ah, you changed your name.
We changed the company name. The product itself will have another name, which is not yet to be disclosed. But yeah, stay tuned for that. So how we developed the solution. We first had a look at all the different competition products, obviously. there are several out there doing something similar than we do, or like aim to something similar. What we noticed is that a lot of these solutions are not really user-friendly, have really a high standard for technology, like the person wearing it has to be good with technology. And the usability oftentimes is also not so great. And the aesthetics of the product.
So like a device that you...
There are wearables, which we focused on, but there are also like sensor solutions to build within your flat or house. Like flooring systems or camera systems.
That in case that someone falls...
Triggers an alarm. Okay. And
so that's the product you're aiming for? Like,
we're building a automatic fall detection device with a notification function so that the elderly people or the person at risk of falling can get the help he or she needs.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. There are also like airbag systems to wear around your belts.
Okay.
Yeah, as I said, the design is a problem, the usability is a problem, and oftentimes the price is also a problem. And that it only functions within your own four walls, like in your flat, is also a problem because people tend to leave their places now again. So we decided on, we focused on those four topics and wanted to analyze how we can improve those areas and decided, okay, it definitely has to be a lifestyle product. The person really has to enjoy it, to wear it. The person doesn't need any technology understanding for our product. It should be within a price range which is affordable to a lot of people. and out came a jewelry piece, actually, which you can wear as a necklace, as a bracelet, or as a clip. And you can basically just switch the sensoring. So just like the Apple Watch, you can attach different wristbands to our sensor and, yeah, decide every day what you want to wear. And for the technology aspect, we actually focused on a IoT network. So we are not relying on Wi-Fi DECT, which is like the house telephone, or a second device, because a grandma or grandpa doesn't always have a smartphone with them. We're also not relying on the mobile networks, because oftentimes in Germany, as you might know, it's not the best.
So if a like, let's say if my grandma wears like this wearable and she falls down and she passes out, like, is it like automatically, like, because of the, like, yeah, if you fall down, then it's automatically calling the emergency, or how is the customer or the emergency journey, let's say, in that sense?
Yeah. So grandpa, whereas the jewelry falls and is maybe unconscious. So they obviously cannot push a button or something like that, which is often the solution with competition products. So a automatic feature was really, really important to us. And we managed some time ago already that we get those automatic features. So our sensors trace the movements of the person. And if the patterns for a fall occur, it triggers an alarm. And user interviews showed us that grandmas, grandpas, or persons at risk at falling don't always want the ambulance to come right away, which is also the case for a lot of the other solutions out there, which is why it was important to us that people wearing our solution can decide for themselves whom is going to help them. So in our app, you can kind of place a hierarchy. So the alarm goes to a child first, then maybe the nephew or the sister or like the neighbor, and then maybe someone down the line, if no one of them is
available
mm-hmm. The ambulance can be alarmed.
So yeah, maybe tell us a bit at which stage you're currently at with like your product prototype, how many people are you in the team right now, and like yeah, tell us where you are at and what are the next steps
within the team. It's Lucas, my co-founder, and Alex, also co-founder, team member. Lucas is a designer, also from the University of Applied Sciences in Munich. And Alex has a background in economics, and he's studying to become a doctor right now. So he's our medical expert within the team. So it's those three team members, like including me, as the main core. And then we are working with freelancers right now on various different topics.
And did you meet both of them in the master program, or how?
I met Lucas within the master's program, and we did some hiring for the Exist grant. So we needed a third person to join us for the grant. And we looked in various places and luckily found Alex.
Like through like a platform, or tell us more.
Actually through Facebook. Like I posted the job ad in various different groups, and including groups for medical students. And then Alex reached out, and it was a good fit. So yeah, we are happy that he decided to join us. Talking about the stage we are currently at, we already did a lot of prototyping, and it's like a continuous process, obviously. But right now we are at a stage where we included all the functions in one. Before, we only tested like one function and then this function and that. And now it's all included into one PCB. And we are working with partners on building the market launch strategy. We recently founded our GmbH, like made it official, basically. And yeah, developing the CI for the product, for like the company and the product then. We are starting to prepare for our crowdfunding campaign, starting to build the strategy for our investments. And yeah, lots of exciting things happening right now.
So until now, how did you finance like the, I mean, I assume that you personally are financed through the Exist funding, which gives kind of every founder like a certain small amount of wage, as far as we heard in one of the last episodes where we talked in depth about Exist funding, which is mainly relevant for Germans or German startups. And then, however, like when it comes to prototyping and also developing the sensors and everything, I assume that there's also, yeah, you need money to do that. Or how do you manage so far to get this set up?
Before Exist, we were in the master's program where we also got a little bit of funding. We obviously used that. And then in the startup certificate, we also got a little bit of funding. We got several prizes, like the Strashik Award. We won there and got a little bit of money there as well. And then Exist pays our salaries, yes, but it also has a fund for the company, which you are able to spend on development and also coaching related things. So we're currently using all that money. And obviously building or founding a GmbH also comes with you having to put in money. So yeah, using that as well.
And so you were saying that for now you're aiming to do like a crowdfunding or VC funding, or like did you decide like which route you want to go down, or in regards to further fund your, or pretty much then also go into the next stages and trying to scale and then probably sell the product at some point?
Yeah, so right now we are already in talks with a couple of like business angels, VCs. We are still aiming to start a crowdfunding campaign because we think our product is really suitable for that. Like the feedback from all the people we gathered so far was also very positive in regards to that. And for a startup, you can also like really use the performance from the crowdfunding campaign to argument your company value. So it's also like a strategic move for us. For the time after Exist, so our Exist funding goes until end of March. And from then on, we definitely need a VC or a business angel investment. And yeah, we are starting that process in parallel right now because those investment processes take a lot of time. And you're not getting money from like for tomorrow. So you have to plan ahead a really long time.
And how do you find those like investors, or how do you set up that process for like searching and selecting and pitching and like?
So first of all, it's obviously a lot of internet research and going to events, going to fairs as well, a lot of networking and yeah, seeing who knows who, and obviously also as a startup deciding on what do we want from an investor, because there are obviously different kinds of investors and you need to decide whether you are interested in their skill set, whether you're just interested in their money or if they can help you, I don't know, strategically in your market launch or something like that. And these are all like factors you have to include within those research areas.
And from now, I mean, you've been already a bit into the process. I mean, you're still like in the very early stage. However, you accomplished the master, you started all the initial steps, you focused on a product, you're a team. What helped you the most, like, till now in this process and this entrepreneurial journey so far? Like, what would you say?
I think one of the main things that helped me is always staying on the topic, like really being committed to it. And even if you had a shitty day, you get up the next and continue working on it no matter what. Like having no doubt in regards to your product and always finding a solution for the challenges.
And in regards to your team, like, what would you say, like, when someone is still maybe alone or and tries to find team members, like, what is, like, the kind of, like, the secret of, like, how to become, like, a successful team? And, tell us a bit about your team formation and how it works and why you think that your team members are the right people to start on that journey.
One key aspect, obviously, is communication. I think what was very beneficial to Lucas and I was that we already worked together during our master's degree. So we kind of had a trial period where nothing was at risk, basically. So we were able to see if we are a good match business-wise. Yeah, we have similar mindsets, which obviously also helps. We get along very well. And yeah.
Similar mindset, but then also different skill set, right? Like,
yes,
you said, like, you're more like business administration and he comes from
design,
industrial
tech,
design. Yeah.
Tech stuff. Yeah.
So I think it was then kind of easy to divide tasks.
Yeah, definitely. So he has his area of responsibilities. I have mine. Obviously, it is also beneficial to us that I have a design management background. So I actually know how his work process looks like. Not obviously, I don't know every technical aspect or every technical development stage, but in the design area, I'm very familiar with it. And even like with the technical area, I'm getting more and more into it. And yeah, also think that I contributed in some beneficial ways, obviously, as well. And yeah, those were things that really helped us building the team, like the two of us. And then with Alex, he joined us last autumn, so like almost 1 year ago, like 10 months ago, maybe. And he does not live in Munich right now, so it was remote mostly. But what helped us there is I think that he also gained some experience within the VC life. So he brings a valuable contribution in that regard. And he's also like a very driven person and with a lot of experience before. And there that mindset comes in again.
I mean, this podcast is a lot about role models and like inspiring founders and startups, specifically female founders. And as you know, we have one question that is always repetitive about the number five. And today you brought us some interesting startups, like your top five startups that might be sometimes like a role model to you, or you might look into those startups to get inspiration and ideas who might already be a bit further down the road. And yeah, tell us a bit like which companies, which startups you brought for us today.
So the five startups I brought today, three of them are friends of mine. And I also brought like two bigger startups. So I'm going to start with the two bigger startups. One of them is Parkett. They are building a financial portfolio systems for individuals. So you can track your stock, ETF, and other investments in one platform, in one dashboard. And the thing I find inspiring about them is that they live kind of a open startup culture. So they actually post on their website their monthly reoccurring revenue. The founder has a live stream on YouTube every week where they cover several different topics and really give in-depth insight of building the company, because until only recently, that founder still worked like full time in, I think, in a Fortune 500 company and only built that startup in his spare time, but also already has like, 10 employees and a lot of influencers marketing their solution for free, basically. So he built a really, really great community around that product and really listens to the community and on what features to implement next. And yeah, I find that very inspiring. And another startup I came across recently is Relativity Space. They are 3D printing rockets. So they are in the aerospace area and, yeah, basically the first company, at least I know of, able to 3D print actual rockets.
Wow, yeah, that's amazing. Pretty huge.
Yeah. And then coming to the three friends of mine, startup friends of mine, Käsekrake, they are based in Kiel. Natalie and Sika are building a vegan cheese company made from sunflower seeds, which tastes simply amazing. I hope they'll be available in Munich soon, because so far they are only locally available in Kiel. And then there is Noho from Cologne. They are building a sustainable cleaning product range, which you can already buy online. And they have just the best vision and mission for this planet, I think. And there's Wardrobe Affair from Berlin. And she is building a platform for people to rent and borrow designer clothes from each other. It's like a peer-to-peer network where you can borrow a, I don't know, Chanel handbag from your next-door neighbor.
Yeah, now as you're mentioning all these, like, the last three, like, in my head there is a bell ringing, which reminds me that you have been part of CreateF, right?
Yes.
So we can touch upon that topic too, as we talked several times in the podcast, and Francesca, the founder of CreateF, was also in one of the episodes. And yeah, maybe in brief, tell us like, what is Create F? Again, for those who haven't listened to that episode or these previous episodes, and why did you join and what was it all about? And yeah, what was the biggest maybe accomplishment, or what was your main takeaway from that program for you as a female founder?
So Create F is a female founder show you can find on YouTube. We filmed several episodes in Berlin, in Hannover, also one in Munich, where they visited us at the SCE. And I think we were like around 10 founders, female founders, all obviously amazing people, not just the three I just named. And that was actually like also one of the main takeaways for me, are those connections I was able to build during that very intense time.
So you're still in touch and help each other on your process of starting a company, or?
We try to come together regularly and like just talk and chat about what is going on within our lives, and also obviously within our companies, and see where we can help each other to grow and to further our companies.
Yeah, I think that's something that is really key, and that's something also I'm continuously hearing, no matter if it's like an incubator where you sit together with other startups, or if it's something more dedicated to other women. I mean, usually in the incubator, at least the one in for the Munich University of Applied Science, sometimes there isn't that many women visible in our incubator. I mean, there are some. However, the majority is definitely our male founders. And so I think, yeah, I don't know. Do you think it's a difference? Does it make a difference for you to exchange with other women than to exchange with guys? Or like, was that an asset for you in this female founder show, or your motivation to join a show that was specifically like one female only?
So in general, I would say diversity is important to me, and diversity does not equal females only, obviously. Back then, when I decided to apply for Create F, I saw it as an opportunity, obviously. I was interested in the program and interested in gaining experience. And obviously, I'm very happy that I met all those lovely people. And I think I enjoy the exchange equally between female founders and male founders, because obviously diversity and different backgrounds are key.
So the motivation for the female founder show was more about the opportunity to go through that journey, to go through that process, and not necessarily for you that it was like a female only program.
I would say so.
Yeah, thank you, Michaela. It was really nice to chat with you today about your journey from joining the Deep Dive Master, or even like before, like going through the online course, taking little snippets of entrepreneurship and digital transformation, then going through the master, finding your co-founder in there, and pivoting different ideas. And I think that's something that always is on the when you talk about the entrepreneurial journey, that sometimes the first idea is not necessarily the idea that you will end up with. And I think specifically in that master, as you said, it's a nice environment. Like you don't yet have all the pressure, and you can easily get to know people who are interested in the same, like starting an entrepreneurial career maybe, and then you can already get in touch and see who you might have a good fit, and then step by step developing an idea, and through the university network having access to different grants and fundings, and then it's kind of like a development journey, I would say, like both personally but also as how to become a founder, and being like still guided through the process, having lots of experts around, and I think it was wonderful to hear about this journey and where you already where you're at right now, and I wish you all the best for the next steps of acquiring funding, and I think that's going to be very interesting too, and maybe we'll meet up sometime again and talk about the next processes, I hope, and wish you all the best, and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
This was Five, your university podcast on female entrepreneurship. We hope that today's episode sparked your curiosity and leaves you feeling inspired and motivated to explore further. Follow us on Spotify, Deezer, iTunes, or Google Podcast to never miss upcoming insights on inspiring startup stories. Thanks for listening, and until next time.